Well, hello, this is Bill Knight.
And I'm Jim Harrington. We're away this week. We're taking some time to recharge our batteries so that we can come back feisty, and it's going to be a busy few weeks to election.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Well, you know, when we get back, there's going to be the Trump sentencing. Does he go to jail or not go to jail? While we've been gone, has something happened? If it does happen while we're gone, we will get our headsets on and microphones on and give you an update from the road. But other than that, that's about it, except that we do have a best of for you that I think you're going to like.
So, without any further ado, here is one of our favorite programs. Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Happy, what day of the week is it? It's Wednesday.
It's halfway through the week. As they used to say in some radio stations, it's over the hump day.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, we're under the hump. We're doing this in the morning. It's not over the hump until midday.
No, and I also think that in our circumstance here, with what we do and what we talk about, it's really like over a speed bump, you know, as opposed to a hump. A lot of things happening. I thought this is interesting, Bill. Nobody's talking about this. The Biden regime has lifted the ban on arming the Ukraine's neo-Nazi Azov battalion. Nobody's talking about this at all. You're aware of who they are, right?
Yes, they're the Nazi group. And I saw that yesterday, and I was going, I had it down in my notes to talk about. So you beat me to the punch, but either way.
It's the way I am, you know. I'm just a very quick guy.
There's a lot of Nazism and Russianism, I guess. You know, everything that the left, tries to cast on the right, they're doing right now. The administration is just so dirty, so foul. I mean, Joe is out there sitting there going, anybody want to take on the government or not take on the government? If you think we're doing something wrong and you want to challenge it, you know, he comes back again with, you better have guns and F-15s. It's like, wait a minute. So is that a little bit of Stalinistic here?
If people don't know what you're talking about, listen.
By the way, if they want to think to take on government, if we get out of line, which they're talking again about, well, guess what? They need F-15s. They don't need a rifle.
Listen to how quiet the audience was when he said that. I'm going to play that again. Listen.
By the way, if they want to think to take on government, if we get out of line, which they're talking again about, well, guess what? They need F-15s. They don't need a rifle.
I mean, first of all, who's talking about taking on the government? Do you know any? I mean, I really don't know.
No, I don't know a damn soul that wants to take on the government. I see the little sycophants out there that are lefties. They're taking all the bait and they're out there, you know, they're challenging everything. They're on Facebook posting their memes going, they post it in red. Anybody that gets their news from Fox is this and this and this and this. I'm going, really? You know, why are you taking the time to sit there and take a social platform that has nothing to do with politics, but you're making it politics? You know,
I mean, let's consider who they take their news, get their news from. They get it from MSNBC or CNN.
Propaganda probably. Central, yes.
Which they've never been more, they're tools of the left, both of them, MSNBC and CNN. But, you know, Biden, that's not the first time that he's talked like that. About 2 years ago, he said this, and I want you to hear something. Listen to his voice 2 years ago, and listen, we'll play the other one in a second. Listen.
And for those brave right-wing Americans who say it's all about keeping America as independent and safe, if you want to fight against the country, you need an F-15. You need something a little more than a gun. No, I'm not joking.
Quiet they were then, too? That was that was a crowd that supported him 2 years ago, and they all were kind of stunned at what he was saying. Again, here's what he said 2 years ago.
And for those brave right-wing Americans who say it's all about keeping America as independent and safe, if you want to fight against the country, you need an F-15. You need something a little more than a gun. No, I'm not joking. Think about this. Think about the rationale we use. That's you.
Yeah, keep reaching, Joe, because it went over like a lead balloon. Now listen to what he said yesterday, and listen to the quality of his voice and his delivery.
By the way, if they want to think to take on government, if we get out of line, which they're talking again about, well, guess what? They need F-15s. They don't need a rifle.
I mean, it's amazing. He is diminished. And the other side, they try to tell you, no, he'll be good for another 4 years. He'll be good for another 4 years.
I think that's a prop up. You know, they have to keep him going. You know, but Carville's out there. Oh, we got all this young talent. They're mysteriously propping up, what's his name, Gavin, out in, on the West
Newsom.
Coast. Newsom, yeah. Because the $20 minimum wage thing that has killed the fast food industry, they were out with a hit piece yesterday, a propaganda piece. Well, you know, the first numbers are out, and actually employment is up. And this, no, you know, those numbers are insignificant numbers. There, when you look at the unemployment rate, it's up. You know, their little McDonald numbers there that they're trying to tout, they're different numbers. They're cooking their numbers so that it looks good because they're trying to prop him up. They know that they got a problem with Joe, and they know they got to replace him as a candidate. Now, I hear that they got another horse that I've said before. They're going to run, and they're going on the fact that, you know, they want to get that the woman vote.
You think it's going to be Michelle?
Absolutely.
Well, I saw a poll that included Michelle, and she has less than 4%. I think that would be a huge mistake on the part if they do anything, is the party should turn around and ask for forgiveness from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and embrace him in the Democratic Party. They should work out a deal and get Kennedy back into the party. They might have a chance of getting some decent numbers.
They got to get him on page with them, and I don't think he's 100% on page because I think he's an outsider in the Democrat community because the Democrat community is corrupt. When you look at all the news, everything going on, things are corrupt in the Democratic Party. It is totally corrupt. The White House is corrupt. The Democrats run it.
Well, I think they have a dilemma. I think they actually miscalculated. I think that they figured that, I'm talking about like 6 months ago, they figured that Joe would have the legs to take him to the finish line. And then after he got in, they could deal with it later on. But I don't think he has the legs. They made a big miscalculation, and they're kind of stuck now. It's like the race has already begun, and they're in the final turn. You know, you can't switch horses, you know, three-quarters of the way through the race. That's where they are right now. But it'll be interesting. Michelle, I don't think, is the answer. As a matter of fact, I think you're going to find that if they were to bring Michelle in, she would be very divisive. Very divisive, and she would be a poor choice. Everyone thinks Obama, you know, there's a big difference between Barack and Michelle, but because Barack could put on that universal persona that was attracted to a lot of different people, and Michelle hasn't got the same ingredients just because she has the same name. Go ahead.
Could she run as president and he run as her vice?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't think it's been done. I don't know. I know that.
Well,
a lot
of things haven't been done. Well, Democrats changed the laws.
There has been a president who has become a chief justice. I know that. There has been a president who later became a justice. I don't know if he was chief justice, a justice.
Well, they want the young people. The young people are saying, yeah, we can change some laws here and there. And they don't realize what they're saying when they talk about changing those laws. A lot of things that people don't realize about Michelle, she used to be an attorney. The reason she's not an attorney is that she got into she did some illegal finances. Let's just put it that way. She did something very illegal back in the 90s, 94, or he, if you want to say that. And a federal judge sat there and said, well, Michelle, Michael, you have two choices. We either yank your license and throw you behind the bars, or you give it up. You give up, you surrender your license now. She surrendered her license. Do you know that Barack surrendered his license? Now, they like to say, well, we didn't want to pay the fees and all of that stuff. That's like him teaching in Chicago, where he was a professor and all that. No, he was a part-time teacher. He taught in the weekends. All of that stuff is a lie, and they need to bring it out, because I'll tell you what, those two clowns are not what they appear to be.
I think that's the reason why you're not going to see Michelle Obama. By the way, I think there are other reasons, which I don't want to get into right now, that are even more, I don't know, more sinister.
There's a lot of...
I just don't think she is what you think she is. And I think that they don't want to go through that scrutiny that is going to happen no matter what if she runs for the presidency. See, right now she can hide behind a very thin veil, but she gets out there and she starts to run as a candidate. There's nothing protecting her from the media, at least in my opinion. Go ahead.
The left media is not going to touch her. It would be the right media, which they do want to suppress, you know, so.
Hey, interesting thing, New York Post exclusively revealed on Tuesday that ICE officials arrested six individuals from Tajikistan in a sting operation over the last week. It says, I guess they arrested them. I'm going to tell you in a second which cities they got them in. I think, Boston? No, is it Boston? Please stand by. I thought I had the list here, but I don't seem to see it. But I think it was in multiple cities. I think it was in multiple cities around the country, like they were spread around. And these guys, if you'll remember, these ISIS, and by the way, they are affiliated with ISIS. These guys are affiliated with ISIS. And it's supposed to be they're also affiliated with the same group in Tajikistan that committed that mass shooting in the theater about 3 years ago, two or three years ago. And, you know, this is all part of the Biden administration and their open borders policy. We're starting to see that. You know, I don't know about you, but I think to myself now, whenever I go someplace, I'm always kind of thinking in the back of my mind, is it safe? Now, I never thought that about anything in this country before. I always felt that this country was safe no matter where you went. But now you have to kind of think twice about where you are, where you're going, and if there's a second exit, because you don't know who you're dealing with anymore. You don't know who these people are that are walking by you in rest areas and things like that. You know, in Boston, I have traveled in and out of Boston at Logan Airport numerous times.
Well, it's a refugee camp now.
It's exactly right. It's a refugee camp. They have this Maura Healey, the moron governor that they put into office. And, you know, it doesn't take brains to be a governor. Well, you know, you have to say the right things at the right times for the right party, and you'll get their support and backing. And they can put a doorknob and make them the governor. And I think they've done that with this governor of Massachusetts. What a doofus. She takes a beautiful airport, a very vibrant, clean airport, and she makes it into a refugee camp. And I don't know how they must have cordoned off areas, because otherwise they're going to have people walking. And can you keep the people who you've cordoned off from walking around in other parts of the terminal? You know, I mean, are you... locking them down in the terminal, or are you just giving them a place to sleep and then they can go get their lunch and they can stroll over to the restrooms? And I mean, is it an open door policy? Have they just abdicated control of one of America's maybe top 10 airports to the migrants? Is this what she's done? But if you see pictures, folks, it's depressing. It's sad to see.
Well, let me ask you a dumb question. You know, you got Logan International Airport. I know, like, when I've gone to Germany, I've flown out of Logan, you know, and so that begs the question, you know, airport, isn't that a nice way to smuggle in more illegals?
Yeah, you could bring them in on cargo planes. You know?
Yeah, and as say, a matter of fact,
they probably are doing just that. They're probably doing just what you're saying, flying them in on charter planes. They're flying them into Westchester County, New York. We saw a video of that.
Yeah, there was a ship coming in that was full of, you know, from somewhere overseas, you know, illegal immigrants that were coming here to come across the border, seeking asylum, I'm sure. No, there's something nefarious going on. I wasn't going to mention this story, but I'll bring it up. You know, I don't have all the details in front of me, but I have enough just to sit there and make you drop your jaw. Back in Afghanistan, with our sudden pullout on that, the Afghanistan war. Did we win that war? Did we lose that war?
We lost the Afghan war.
So, there you go. So I guess that's why we're sending, you know, it's a habit of the old Obama administration, which Biden was in. So I guess the $82 million a week in planes that we send over there to pay the families of the killed Talibans, the Taliban people that we killed, we were paying them that money.
Run that by me again. We're sending over every week what?
Between 42 and 87 million taxpayer dollars to give to the families of the Taliban that we killed.
I see nothing about that. I mean, I don't know where you got that story. That's
Getter.
That should be. That should, well, you know.
I'll send it to you.
No, you don't. I believe you, but it should be top of the news everywhere. Why in the name of God? Well, but then again, we left $89 billion with a B dollars worth of equipment. We left Bagram Air Base, which was one of the stellar air bases we ever built anywhere. It was only an hour from China, where they make their nuclear missiles, and we just gave it away because Biden, and in his absolute, I don't know whether he was in a fog when he did this or whether he just didn't give a damn. He just walked away from all that stuff. Hey, those 13 Americans that got blown up and the many others who were injured, nobody ever talks about them. You know, that's Biden's administration that did that.
$87 million a week. You know, what about our veterans? What about our soldiers? You know, we may have lost the Afghan war there, but the point is that we were there for just reasons, and why we're doing that, why they feel compelled to doing that, what is that money for, really? Where do you think it's going?
Well,
you know,
we are being lied to at just about every corner. You know, what we haven't talked about yet, and we should, is Hunter, right. And
I was leading to that.
Well, I'm wonderful. We're there. Listen, yeah. Hunter, in my opinion, is a distraction. We're being told to look over this shiny object, and in the meantime, something else that we should be paying attention to is going on the other side. We are being told that it's a big deal that Hunter was found guilty. And, you know, he may get a slap on the wrist and may get home detention. He's not going to jail, friends. I honestly thought he wasn't even going to be found guilty, but at least that happened. And some people say, well, there is justice. I don't know. You know, we forget that the real crime that they're not pursuing is Joe and Hunter and the selling of, you know, their influence to China. That's the story that we should be investigating, but in the meantime, but they're not doing that. No, they decided, look at it, if we can go after Hunter for a lesser charge, how about that gun charge? You know where he threw the gun into the dumpster? Yeah, that's a charge we can go after, and we can distract him and make him look like we're really pursuing the president and his family, and we're being equal justice. I heard that guy Weiss, the special prosecutor, say. Equal justice for all. Hey, pal, stow it. You know, equal justice would be you going after the Bidens for the real crimes and not this phony charge. I say phony charge. This ridiculous charge of a gun possession. They're making it sound like it's a big deal. Well, Hunter was using drugs at the time. you know, hey, you know, it's like driving under the influence, folks. Go ahead.
Well, what are they going to do if they if he doesn't do serious jail time? Then, you know, that tit for tat thing. Well, equal justice. It's not equal justice because his crime doesn't compare to the expired misdemeanor that they go after a clerical error with Trump and say, ah, it's a felony, and let's multiply it to 34, you know, and say it's federal offenses. It doesn't equal that. Now, Hunter's got a second problem out there. He's got problems with taxes out in California. Now, if they find him guilty on that, but he gets another washover, you know, you've got the Biden administration there, and Biden's coming after you for taxes. He's giving away money, you know, left and right. You just heard the audio of him sitting there saying, well, you know, you want to talk about our irregularities, you better not have a gun. You better have a F-15 because we're going to come and pick you up or blow you up. And I'm going to go ahead and fund these Hitler-type groups, too. If you're on the left sitting there going, Nazi, 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 pointing that ass, go look at the frickin' mirror. There's your Nazi.
No, I think he told you how he feels. You're absolutely correct.
You're supporting you're either supporting Stalin.
But they
or
do
a
that
Nazi.
All the time. They call the people on the right, you know, they call us Nazis, but they're doing all the Nazi stuff on the left, all of it, putting people in jail for no charges, keeping them in jail for years, all this stuff, burning down buildings, anarchists, and not punishing them at all. They're not being arrested. You know, they have the occupations on these college campuses. Mm-hmm. There was a time when the police would have gone in, rounded them up, and they would have gone to jail, and they would have had to face some kind of charge. Nowadays, it's like, oh, don't worry about it. We're just doing a demonstration, taking over a building, and we'll be home for dinner. You know, mm-hmm. It's like it's no big deal. But if the right does, if the right walks down, well, it happened last week. A bunch of teenage kids took their bicycles and rode over a painted, was it an LGBTQ plus flag on a sidewalk, and they were putting skid marks on it, and the cops came along and immediately arrested them. Okay? Now, you can go beat the living daylights out of a transit cop in New York and be out by lunch, you know? But if you happen to put skid marks on an LGBTQ flag, well, you're in jail, and we have to deal with you later on.
Well, you give me an LGBTQ flag, and I'll put some skid marks on it.
I'm sure you could.
Well, you know, yeah. I mean, come on, that's ridiculous. I mean,
I know.
You know, they're
know.
Equating that flag, which really, okay, you know, that's your flag. That's great. You know, put it on your car like they used to do the little rainbows on the license plate. I thought cute. You know, okay. But
hey, look what happened. Look what happened in Wethersfield last week in Connecticut. With the you know, they wouldn't put the flag up, the American flag at half staff for a cop who was murdered. But they put an LGBTQ plus flag in half staff. You know, it's like we are upside down as a society right now.
How much do you want to bet I wouldn't be sitting behind bars in about 3 days if I sat there and said, I'll take the cameras outside, I'm going to go buy an LGBTQ flag, and I'm going to hold it up and set it on fire and film that and put it on TikTok?
Bill?
They would be knocking at my door, dragging me away.
By the time you would struck the match, by the time you put the match to the flag, the cops would have been putting you in handcuffs.
And what would be the charge? What would be the charge?
Yes, you know, it would have been destruction of a whatever. They would have figured something out.
Symbolic flag. Yes. Look, yeah. I don't care that you are lighting this with,
lighting,
or that.
Lighting with intent to burn. That's what I don't know. It would have been ridiculous.
But you know what I'm saying. Yeah. You know, they would lock you up, you know. Now, if somebody goes and does that for real, I had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Just so
yeah.
You know.
Famous.
Hey, the DOJ. Yeah. The DOJ has been investigated.
Yeah, by the DOJ.
Yeah, and they found they did nothing wrong. They gave themselves a clean bill of health.
That's right.
There was nothing.
They looked at themselves and said, I'm fine.
I'm fine. Thank you very much. That should answer all your questions.
Yes.
We're not taking any.
Yes. By the way, there's somebody at your door.
Yeah, because you have a bad thought about this could have been a rigged investigation. we're going to teach you why to think, you know, why not to think that way. I don't know. It's a crazy world.
Hunter Biden's case, folks, just take it at face value. It's a distraction. The real crime is not being pursued because Joe has the DOJ in his back pocket. I love it. Merrick Garland came out yesterday, and he said, listen, I'm tired of people saying that the DOJ has been politicized, at which point I spit out my coffee. You know, he was complaining that people are saying that his DOJ is politicized. Now, mind you, folks, they sat around figuring out ways to arrest the 45th president of the United States. They thought that he was at his residence in Mar-a-Lago in Florida when they raided it, only to find out he was not there. They had authorized the agents, if he sneezes the wrong way, shoot him. You know, I mean, they gave the agents who did the raid authorization to use their weapons on the 45th president of the United States. Nobody, and do you notice how fast a story as important as that gets thrown out of the headlines? You know?
Oh, yeah, quickly. Now, who controls the liquor licenses?
The government.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and, you know, alcohol, blah, 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 and tobacco and everything. And so anyway, Trump, they've done it before. They weren't able to do it. Now they're saying, well, you know, he's a felon, a convicted felon. So in New Jersey, he's got golf courses there. So here they are challenging to take his liquor licenses from his businesses.
I'll be willing to bet you that the
this is the second time they've tried this.
His businesses are probably owned by corporations. You know,
oh, yeah, I'm sure they are, but they're going to try to find a way because they want to attack his pocketbook, and they're going after everything they can. But, you know, we talked about the DOJ, the FBI. They are purging any conservative agent out of there.
I heard that,
If you're conservative or you support Trump. So you could actually be, well, no, you know, I'm Democrat, but I think there's something wrong. I like Trump.
Oh, you do? Well, hey, listen, I want you to get all your things in your desk, put them in a box, and we'll meet you in the parking garage, you know?
Yeah. Well, no, as a matter of fact, we'll bring your things to you.
That's a good, I like that better. Yeah, thank you very much.
As a matter of fact, just, you know what, could you give us your bulletproof vest? You're not going to need it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I understand there's some nefarious people in the parking lot, so be on the lookout.
You know, Uncle Joe was at a, you know, when his son was being convicted of a felony, Joe was where a good father always is when a son's being convicted of a crime. He was speaking in front of a gun organization. I mean, you know, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, he had his stepmother who doesn't get along with him. The first lady and Hunter have a history of not liking each other. They've thrown around some of the most vile swear words at each other. You know, I mean, it's not a secret. They don't get along. But what do they show yesterday coming out of the courtroom? You see Jill Biden holding Hunter's hand. And
nice
Hunter,
little hug there, kiss or something.
And Hunter holding his wife, and Hunter's in the middle, forever the victim, walking out of the courtroom. Everything that they do is
show.
A performance. Exactly right. Everything they do. So, but he was at this, Joe was at this, what was it called? It was guns, everything guns or something like that. Everything anti-gun, some convention that was anti-guns. And Joe was there to talk about how he's gonna get rid of all those nasty assault rifles, you know, like, I don't hear about nasty assault rifles doing much of anything to anybody. You know, I mean, if the gangs have them that Joe has led in across the border, they probably carried them in.
Oh, they get a permit to keep theirs.
Oh, yes, that's right. They have, MS-13 has a special permit to keep their assault rifles. But if you're a hunter and you want to protect your family, well, I'm sorry, sir, that gun's going back. Anyway, he talks about having walked when he was a young man. This guy is, I'm sorry, folks, he's beyond believable. every story he has is preposterous. I mean, if he were working in broadcasting, doing a talk show, and he had stories like this on the air on a station I programmed, I'd yank the guy, because the guy is a liar.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about walking through the wetlands in Delaware, bumping into hunters out there with their assault rifles. Well, I'll let him tell you.
I remember when I was campaigning, when I was a senator, going through the wetlands of Delaware to meet all the people who were most upset with me, the fishermen and the hunters. And I came across a guy who was fishing, and he said, "You want to take my gun?" And I looked at him, I said, "Yeah, I don't want to take your gun. You're allowed to have a gun, but I want to take away your ability to use an assault weapon." And then, well, no, this is how the conversation went. He said, "What do you mean I need that gun?" I said, "Guess what? If you need 12 to 100 bullets in a gun, in a magazine, you're the lousiest shot I've ever heard."
Unbelievable. You know, the thing about
Joe, you would know. Yeah.
The thing about Joe is, you know, he makes it sound like he was casually walking through the wetlands of Delaware. Yeah, because, you know, on his days off, when he has nothing to do, Joe, who doesn't use a rifle because he wouldn't know which end of the barrel to hold, you know, he was out strolling through the wetlands of Delaware, and he walked up to a guy who was holding a rifle, and he challenged him by saying, "I want to take away your..." You know, what stupidity. What? And, you know, the people in the crowd are going...
Well, I know what he's going after next, because he just said it.
What?
He goes, "Yeah, you know, it's the hunters and the fishermen that don't like him. Ah, yeah, you know what you can do with a... You know, spank me with a bass in the face, you know?" You know, I mean, because those fishermen, fisher ladies out there, I mean, they're deadly with their hooks, you know.
They can really nail you.
I mean, yeah, they can take out their rod, you know. They pull it out of their pant leg and go, "Zzz, gotcha."
God. He cannot help himself. And whenever he says, no, seriously, or no joke, no lie. Whenever he does something like that,
oh, it's a lie.
Counting it being a lie. Absolutely right.
I mean, yeah, he should hire Three Dog Night to sing their song Liar. Every time he tells a story, liar, liar, you know.
Do you think it's a coincidence that the day that his son is arrested on a gun charge, found guilty on a gun charge for having a gun? Do you think that it's a coincidence that Joe is at an anti-gun rally? Mm. I mean, come on, folks. It doesn't take a great mind to put those things together, you know?
Mm.
Oh, God, let's see. My son's being found guilty on having a gun. Oh, well, let's go to a gun rally and talk about how anti-gun we really are. It amazes me the line of nonsense that we...
Bidens. Yeah. Talking about the Bidens, lawyers, guns, and money. That's all we're talking about with them.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Sounds like a Warren Zevon song. Anyway.
I promised last Friday or Thursday that we would replay a segment of the interview that Tucker had with the president of El Salvador,
all right,
Bukele. And he's a phenomenally intelligent young guy. He is articulate. Sounds like he was brought up in the U.S., but he was brought up in El Salvador. But his English is perfect. His his reasoning is faultless. I mean, the guy, and his courage, Bill. This is a guy who went in. I didn't realize this, but El Salvador was the murder capital of the world. More deaths in El Salvador, that little country, than any other country in the world. And he goes in and he takes over with a promise of straightening it all out. And he does. He does just that. He makes El Salvador safe again. It didn't happen overnight, but he got the right people in the right places and he got the right people to do the right thing. And before you know it, it became a safe country again. But I wanted to play it for you. This is... Tucker Carlson's interview with the president of El Salvador.
MS-13 is one of the major gangs.
And they are satanic also.
That was my question. So I hope you will explain it, because very little has been written in the West about this.
They're satanic, yes.
But actually, literally, can you explain?
Well, they didn't start as a satanic organization. They MS-13 started in Los Angeles, in the U.S., because Salvadorans weren't allowed to sell drugs by the Mexican gangs. So they created a gang that was called the 18th Street Gang, because they basically wanted to sell drugs in a street that was 18th Street over there. But then division started they started dividing themselves and started infighting, so they created the MS-13. And then the MS-13 started outgrowing the other gangs, and they started exporting the organization to other parts of the U.S. And when Bill Clinton decided to deport those guys, he didn't tell our government at the time, I'm deporting this criminal. They just, send them here. And they came, there were a few, but unchecked. At the same time, some laws were passed to protect minors from imprisonment. And of course, the gangs used that to recruit 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds. So at the beginning was, some youth causing harm, assaulting, trying to control their territory, selling drugs, things that are bad, but, probably not critical. But they grew, and they started controlling territories. A few years later, they were actually a huge international criminal organization that they had bases in Italy, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, the U.S. Basically, a lot of major cities in the U.S. will have strongholds of
right outside Washington, D.C.
Yes, of course. And you have in Long Island and in L.A. It's a huge criminal international organization. So so they grew and they started, killing more people to get territory or to fight against rival gangs, or to, collect debts or, money or whatever. But as the organization grew, they became satanic. They started doing satanic rituals. I don't know exactly when that started, but it was well documented.
Yes.
And we, in our arrest, we've even found altars and things like that.
Yes, I've seen them.
And so they became a satanic organization. And even when you, sometimes when you interview gang members that are in prison, they would say, I'm out of the gang. Of course, they're in prison, but they would say, I'm not a member of the gang anymore. And when they asked them why, I remember the news outlet that made it this, but it's a, very well-known news outlet that made this interview with a gang member in prison. We allowed them to go into prisons and do the interviews. And the guy that, they asked him, how many people have you killed? And he said, I don't remember. He didn't remember how many, probably 10, 20, he didn't remember. And then they ask him, what is your position in the gang? He explained how he went up in positions, but I left the gang. I said, why did you leave the gang? And he said, well, because I was used to kill people. But I killed for territory. I killed to collect money. I killed for extortion. But I came to the, to this house, and they were about to kill a baby. And he, the killer that had killed tens of people, said, oh, wait, what are we doing? Why are we going to kill that baby? And they told him, because the beast asked for a baby, so we have to give him a baby. So he said that he couldn't resist that, so he left the gang. He's in prison because, he's a killer, but he left the gang because he couldn't tolerate what he was seeing.
So human sacrifice was a part.
Well, in the United States a couple of days ago, I don't remember exactly, I saw the news that they were going to kill a young girl, or they killed a young girl, and I don't exactly remember, because it was a satanic ritual. It happened in the U.S. a couple of weeks ago.
So that's almost never described
No.
In English language press as clearly as you just described it.
No. Which is weird, right?
Well, you sort of wonder why.
Yeah.
If there's a spiritual component that's driving it, why not just say so?
Yes.
But I guess my point is you saw it as that.
Yes, yes, of course. There's a spiritual war and there's a physical war. And the physical war could be, that's the unofficial.
Yes.
That's the unofficial version. The spiritual, if you win the spiritual war, it will reflect into the physical war. So our impressive victory was because we won the spiritual war very, very fast.
Well, that leads me, I didn't expect.
Because you didn't have competition. I mean, they were satanic. I think that made it easier.
In your inaugural, and I was listening on headphones for the translations, I just want to check this. You said, we have achieved this great victory and made this a safe country, and that's the predicate for everything that follows. And the next thing we're going to do in this term is to work on the economy to make it better.
Grow the economy, yeah.
And you said, correct me if I'm wrong, you said I have a 3-point plan. And I'm thinking, I wonder what that is. I don't know. Start a Federal Reserve Bank. And you said the first point of my plan is seek God's wisdom.
Yes.
That is what you said.
Yeah, I said that, yeah.
Why would that be the first point of an economic plan?
Why wouldn't it be? Why should it be the first part of the plan?
Well, I think it should be.
Yeah.
But I can't.
And most people would think that, right?
I've never heard any leader of any country say that.
Because they probably forgot to represent the people that elect them. It's like you ask most of the people that elect the politicians, they've said, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I believe that. But then you ask the politician, and he would say, no, that's not. I mean, so who is he trying to pander into? I mean, it doesn't make sense, right?
Do you think...
So it's a common sense thing to seek God's wisdom.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's a prerequisite for wise decision-making,
yes,
I would say.
Yes, exactly. So that's the first part of our plan.
President of El Salvador, Nayib Bukele, and I'm a fan. Guy's amazing.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
You know, and what interests me, Bill, about that is he started off by saying, you know, MS-13, they're not just a gang. They're a satanic gang.
Yeah.
I think he talked about there was a killer that was in this gang who was, he was a killer. He lost count as to how many people he murdered. But at one point, they ordered him to go into this house and kill a person. When he went into the house, he found out the person was a baby. And he said, "I why do you want me to kill a baby?" And the guy said, "Well, we've been ordered by Satan, essentially, to do this."
You know, if you take away all Judeo-Christian values, then pedophilia, everything on the table, it's all open, and there really should be no consequences. There is no purpose of life but just to sit here and have fun and do all the mayhem that you want to while you're here, because that's all there is.
Yeah.
And you see it in their attacks. You're talking about the Son of God, and the Son of God. I saw that yesterday on a Facebook page. Oh, you're talking about Jesus, the Son of God, S-O-N-N God. The Son of God, S-U-N, God. God is based off of astrology and blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that. And I'm like going, boy, have you got everything ass backwards.
Well, you know, have you noticed how on the left they ignore God until it's politically expedient to use him? For example, yesterday after the verdict came down on Hunter Biden, they were talking about how it's in God's hands that this former addict is being converted. They were embracing God and using him like a tool. You know, I've often wondered, and this is maybe going off on a little tangent here, but I've often wondered, do these people on the left who do so many corrupt things, the Soroses and the like, does it ever occur to them just maybe, even though they say they're atheist, but just in the chance that they are wrong and that there is a God, why is it that they work so hard to piss him off? Why is it they work so hard to antagonize berate and belittle God. There can't be a good outcome. You see, I believe in God wholeheartedly, and I believe that people who don't have God are, I feel sorry for them because they don't have someone or something that they can turn to in hard times.
Well, actually, they do, because they say there is no God. Then they say, well, there's astrology. There never was a God. But yet, they worship something satanic. And they pay homage to that. It's all cool. So that in and of itself is proof positive there is a God. It's not the dark God. There is a, he's just trying to cover your eyes to say it is, he's not there.
You know, I think it's the epitome of stupidity, actually. But
the epitome of stupidity. Today's show brought to you by.
The arrogance on some of these people to think, oh, there's no God. I'm here, and everything I do is because of me. It's this ego that they have. Their accomplishments are all them, you know? And then, you know, when you see them in dark times, when you see them going through a bad patch like we all do at some point in our lives, you know, they seem so empty and lost. You know, if they had something to turn to, it might help them. You know, but they say every atheist finds God in the last minutes of their life, so you can only hope.
You know. Well, yeah, but, you know, do you want to hedge your bet there, you know, and say, well, maybe there is a God before you die? Because let's just say that a bolt of lightning hits you from behind and kills you instantly, and you're sitting there going, there ain't no God. Well, you're going to be surprised when you get to the other side. Well, who'd have thought? Not you. Not you, son. To hell you go.
Uh-oh. I was just kidding.
No, I'm not, you know.
Hey,
God doesn't kid. He doesn't tell jokes.
Came across something kind of interesting, a list that I found, and I wanted to read some of these things to you, Bill. This is interesting. And I want those on the left, they want you to pay particular attention. Now, you may say this is a lot of hooey, but see, you're talking to a guy who, you're listening to a guy who is a little older than some of you, and
really?
Not all of you, but
I would have never guessed.
I've been around for a bit, and I can remember most of these things. These are things that the left promoted vigorously back in the day. They said in 1966, oil would be gone in 10 years. We were going to go through oil in 10 years.
I remember the long lines. Now we have an abundance of oil, and it turns out the earth naturally produces oil.
Okay. You're not supposed to know that.
I know. Shut up. Shut up, Bill.
In 1970, the world will use up all of its natural resources by 2000.
No, there's still a lot of gas coming out of the left.
Well,
so.
Well, that I think they were talking about other natural resources.
I know.
Let's see. They said in 1970, decaying pollution will kill off all the fish. 1970, all the fish gone. I don't see it.
Where have all the fishies gone? Yep.
They said in 1970, and I remember this distinctly, there was going to be an ice age by 2000. In 30 years, we were going to be frozen. Honest to God, that was in 1970.
Yeah, chills me to think of that,
Then, now we talked about 1966 that we said oil would be depleted. Well, in 1972, they came out and said, we're going to revise that. Oil will be depleted in 20 years. That means in 1992, we'd run out of oil.
72, that was the year. It was Vote America 72. They were getting the young votes to help them out on the left. And, yeah, we had the long gas lines because I can remember you could sit there 35, 50 cents a gallon. You could go... hey, you know, for $5, you could go on a date. You could go get, you know, a few dollars worth of gas, or not a few dollars, but $2 worth of gas, and you had, you know, 4 or 5 gallons to drive around.
I got a couple.
Had a couple of bucks to go to the Munchie Burger place.
You remember in 1974, they were talking about the ozone layer would be depleted, and it was going to be a great peril to life. 1974.
Quit using hairspray, too.
No more of that propellant in the hairspray.
And well, turn off your air conditioners.
We still got, we still have, you know, everything working well, and it's not really a problem. As a matter of fact, I think that problem has dissipated to a certain extent.
Well, it turns out that it's kind of, you know, it comes and goes. It's kind of a natural phenomenon. So, yeah, it's amazing.
How about 1976? We said the scientific consensus was the planet was cooling and that we could expect famine. 1976. They said it was imminent. Famines were imminent.
I think the reality is it's warming.
They said 1980, acid rain would kill all life in the Great Lakes. All life in the Great Lakes. These people say it with a straight face, and they have lengthy resumes, and they have degrees from prestigious universities, and they're absolutely, positively shameless with their stupidity. Let's see, regional 1988, regional droughts will happen all around the world. Like, they happen all around the world anyway, folks. That's part of how the world works, you know. I mean,
it changes all the time. You know where the pyramids are, and there's deserts now. That used to be green land, and there used to be water. The water went underground, and we got rivers under here in the United States. The point is, it's the natural course of life. Things change. And
I got one for you. 1989. Now, this strikes home to me, and I'll tell you why. In 1989, New York City's West Side Highway would be completely underwater by 2019. By 2019, the West Side Highway would be gone. It would be underwater. I used to take the West Side Highway when I went to work in New York. I took it every day, drove down the West Side Highway. And to think that by 2019, it would be underwater. Wait a second. It's still there? Well, never mind. They were wrong with that one, too. You know, I mean,
But they're still saying that we're going to lose shoreline all the way around the United States.
Bill, well, it's called it's called erosion. That's happened forever.
Well, I got news for you. You know, go into a time capsule and, you know, fast forward yourself 400,000 or 500,000 years or maybe 1 million years. You'll find that the United States has shifted somewhere out in the middle of the Pacific, you know, or connected to something else or split up, because that's the way the earth goes.
I got one for you. In 2000, they were predicting that children wouldn't know what snow is. That's right. They will have no idea what snow is. Maybe they'll see pictures in books, but the idea of them ever seeing snow again, it was going to be a real thing. It was going to be a reality soon.
There's a Hunter joke in there, but we'll leave it alone.
That's true.
Talk about the
different
snowman.
Kind of
there
snow,
is.
Yes. let's see. In 2002, they would say we would reach the peak of our oil exploration by 2010. Nah, we're finding new oil every single day, and it just keeps on keeping on. Listen to this one. This was a real prediction. They stood there with a straight face, the guys like Al Gore. They stood up there and they said in 2005 that Manhattan would be completely underwater by 2015. Now, you may say, Jim, that's ridiculous. That they never said that. They even made a movie. Hollywood said Hollywood made a movie about that happening. You know, it was like, oh, the climate has changed and the city's underwater, you know.
What was that movie, 2012 or something like that?
Something like that. It was a dumb, stupid movie, but it had an agenda, and they all believed it in Hollywood, you know, I'm sure.
They built those big arcs and all of that stuff. Yeah, I remember that movie.
You want to buy waterfront property? Yes, buy a house in Westchester County. What? You know, Westchester County is nowhere near the water, folks.
Yeah, I was safe. I bought some land in Idaho. So
super. Oh, you're going to have great beachfront property.
Beachfront property.
Say that fast five times fast.
I can't even say it once.
In 2008, the Arctic will be ice-free by 2018. That's what they said. In 10 years, the Arctic will be ice-free. Not so much. These are all things that they said as dire warnings. I mean, they had big news conferences and the media covered these things, and they said it with a straight face. The so-and-so organization, the prestigious intellectual organization so-and-so, has said this. And then they're always wrong. Go ahead, Bill.
I was going to say, anytime you see a newspaper story about a prediction like that, snip it out and put it in an envelope for that year. And at the end of the year, like this is 2024, just write 2024 and have an open date on it, whether it's 10 or 15 or 20 years, and see if it actually came true or still is plausible or not. You'll sit there and find out that 99.9% of the news and predictions are jokes.
Look at this guy. He was our vice president, Al Gore. He wanted to be president. He said in 2009, with a straight face, but then I think it was a straight face. It's hard to tell with him. Climate genius Al Gore moves. This is in 2009. He says he predicted in 2013 that there would be an ice-free Arctic by 2014. He said, I'm sorry, it's hard for me to keep a straight face, but he predicted that there would be no ice in the Arctic. He was following up on that other prediction, but he was saying, you know, remember the movie that they made in Hollywood? You know, they love to give Academy Awards to politicians who spew their leftist nonsense. And Al Gore did a documentary that was supposed to be factual. You know, when in Hollywood, if you make it with enough glitz and with enough finesse, anything can happen. I mean, in Al Gore's case, they put this documentary together, and I forgot the name of it, and it was really slick, except it was all a bunch of hooey. So during Academy Awards, they marched Al out there to a standing ovation. Oh, yes, bravo, it's Al Gore. He's a leftist. He's with us. And they stuck in his hand an Academy Award, an Oscar, and, you know, once again, diminishing the value of having one in everybody who believes in what that used to stand for. There was a time, by the way, that Hollywood, and I blame Marlon Brando for this, okay? You're saying, why Marlon Brando? Because remember when Marlon Brando sent out the little Indian woman to collect his Academy Award in 1975, come to find out 30 years later that she wasn't Indian, but she was playing the part. Hey, it's Hollywood, folks. But she went out there and gave a diatribe about how the oppressed peoples were. It had nothing to do with the movie, you know, but Marlon Brando, he was sending her out to get his Oscar. And but Hollywood used to look at the Oscar as being of something of value for a performance, just for acting, doing their job. It didn't become a political tool until, like I said, Marlon Brando started it. And then every subsequent Academy Award thereafter, somebody was doing something political and making some kind of a statement about something. And now it's just ridiculous. And they can't figure out, why is it that our ratings are in the tank? You know, why are we down the toilet in our ratings? It's because you put nonsense out there. Anyway, I just thought you'd be interested in seeing some of those predictions. I have more, but I'm going to put that aside. Enough of that. Anything you want to add before we wrap this one up?
Let me look at my notes. Yeah, I was.
I know you were reading the paper. I know you were. Doing a crossword puzzle. I know you were doing something.
No. I was looking at different things. I mean, I have a story that I was looking at. There was something I was talking to you yesterday, but I wanted to go through and.
Oh, I think we were going to talk about. This is interesting. This is something which a lot of people are not being told. But you know, we've authorized the Ukraine to fire missiles into Russia. Right. So what did Putin say the other day? And this goes to those ships that are down in Cuba right now. You know, they've sailed into Cuba. Yeah. He said, well, look, if you're going to give our enemy weapons they can use to fire into our country, then we're going to give your enemies weapons they can fire into your country.
Yeah. So pretty soon we're going to have Russian missiles right over the border fence.
So, I mean, if you tick off, hypothetically, you know, they have a socialist president of Mexico now. We don't know what this lady's all about. I have no idea. She may be a staunch enemy of the U.S. Mm-hmm. Have no idea. But let's say, hypothetically, she hates the U.S. All of a sudden, she says to Russia, I think putting some missile silos along the border might be a wonderful idea. You can blame that on jumping Joe Biden and his do-nothing administration.
Well, Cuba is allowing Russia there again. I mean, could Putin not sit there and get a barge, a couple of barges, anchor them 13 miles off our coastline, international waters, declare it their land, and just happen to have some, it's got to guard itself?
You know, they could do that, but they don't need the barges. All they have to do is say to Cuba, hey, look, what do you think about us putting some missile silos on Cuba? It's only 90 miles from Florida. And these missiles, I mean, they'll travel into the U.S. 90 miles is nothing.
We could hit any target. We could hit Alaska. We could hit
New York.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, New York. We could hit Oregon. We could hit anywhere.
And don't you think for one second Putin won't do that? Because, you know, these morons that we have in Washington now, they've been poking this bear for 2.5 years, poking and poking and sticking him and jabbing him and thinking, he's not going to come back at us. Yeah, right.
Last time that we started poking around where we shouldn't have poked, I think the Bay of Pigs happened to us. You know, that was Russia getting even with us. And it didn't quite go down the way. Now, the story, the history that we promote, you know, that we had the showdown and we showed them, but basically it was all about them saying, oh, yeah, you're going to do this. We're going to do this then. And we had to back off some stuff that we were doing that we should have never been doing.
You know, I want you to think about something. Since World War II, can you tell me what war we've won? I'll wait. Okay. Yeah. Korea, they say we went to a tie. Vietnam, you know, we didn't win Vietnam. We should have. We could have. We didn't, because we allowed politicians in Washington to micromanage that war.
Well, it's not about winning. You know, it's not about winning at all.
It's about using equipment and replacing that equipment.
Yeah, it's the industrial complex. It, just trying to... Because if we don't go to war, they got no equipment to make. They can't sell guns. They can't sell bullets. They can't sell tanks. They can't sell ships. They can't sell aircraft.
Well, people would say, well, we won the Iraq War. But did we really win it? I mean, we won it maybe temporarily for a couple of years or so. And then all of a sudden, we pulled our presence out of the country. And all of a sudden, the country started to slip towards Iran. So, I mean, how long do you have to have success for it to be a victory? I mean, we won World War II because we made a commitment to win the war, and that's exactly what we did. But ever since then, every single war we've been involved with hasn't been a wholehearted country commitment. It's been politicians manipulating us.
You know why? Because we have one thing, but so do the other countries. We have the bomb. So back, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. So when we got hit in Japan they sat there and said, we unleashed a monster. They did. And, you know, that's where Susie Riveter came from. We put everything together and we built back our military might.
I know her sister, and Rosie. I
know. We're not going into that.
Rosie the Riveter, Bill. Rosie.
I know. But either way.
We did unleash a monster. We used the nuclear. When people say, ooh, who would use the nuclear weapon? We did.
So we don't have to win a war, but we do have to feed that industrial complex. Now, the sad thing is, how reliable is that nuclear arsenal that we got? How many are duds by now? Or does it ever fail? Can they not make it off the ground? Can they blow up in the silo and, you know, take out a lot of our land? I don't know. But the point is, you know, This is about money. That's all it's about, is money for the people that own the world and control it. They got to make money.
You know what I worry about? I really and truly worry as to whether we have military people at the highest levels with the brains and expertise to win a major war. Now, I don't know whether we have them. I hear we have them, but if Milley is an example of the highest level of our military intelligence, we're in deep trouble. Mm-hmm. We're in deep trouble because Milley was a doofus.
Well, the only question that you have is, what country does have the military leadership? Because we're a woke nation, and we're pretty much in a woke world. I mean, I don't know of anybody that, you got Russia.
You just told me something a little while ago that nobody's talking about.
During the audio?
During the Russian army, how it expanded their forces. How'd they do that?
Oh, they let their women out of prison, and they did this before. They let their women out of prison, and they have a lot of women that were jailed and in prison. They are now in the military. They have their little blue jackets, and they're marching.
There's something to be said too for whether for good or for bad, but their military is active right now, and they're using their troops, and they're learning their tactics, and they're honing their skills, and we're talking about how to be woke in the military. We're talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion in the military ranks. We're talking about how it's okay if you want to dress like a woman in the men's military. I mean, this is the stupidity that we're going through right now thanks to this administration.
Pardon the analogy, but we're pissing on a fire with gasoline trying to put it out.
Yeah.
The simple fact is, even the people that are in the know, they tell you that, we're over there. We're helping Ukraine take out some hardware and stuff inside of Russia. Number one, we're hitting inside their land. That's an act of aggression and war. Number two is these people say, we're doing that, but we're helping them in a war that they can't win because of, they still have a lot of hardware, they still have a lot of weapons, they have nukes, and they have a massive army, and it just got bigger. And if you don't believe me, you don't have to go to any underground thing. You can sit there and Google it. It's going to come up on mainstream news that, they let them women out of prison. And they said, here, your freedom is you fight for your country. And they said, yes, sir.
What a lot of people who don't know history don't realize that during World War II, the whole country mobilized in Russia. Everybody.
And that's what they're doing.
And, they're still only using a fraction of their population.
Yeah.
If they ever got really involved, forget it. Because they know how to fight. They know what has to be done. They're, to a certain extent, as NATO and the United States have pushed Russia into isolation. We've pushed them into a corner. And at some point, the only people they can rely on are themselves, And because of the stupidity on the part of our politicians, for the sake of greed, you heard Lindsey Graham yesterday talk about the real reason why we're in the Ukraine was because of the raw materials and the minerals that they have in their
critical minerals.
Yeah, that's why we're there. We want to have control of Ukraine's minerals.
Yeah.
So as far as he's concerned, it's okay for good young men on both sides to be pulverized for the sake of some stupid minerals, This to me is beyond belief. And by the way, Ukraine is not the only place where there are those minerals. There are other places, including our country.
Yeah, our country, China. You've got Australia that has a big stockpile, which is what China's courting them. They do have a stockpile, but there's more than just critical minerals in the Ukraine. There's stuff that we don't want people to know about. There's the critical minerals. There's other stuff there. Some resources that they have that used to be Soviet resources, and Putin knows that too, No, but the fact that Lindsay put it out there, it may be on the table very soon what the fight is really all about. And, you know, that's going to be a tough fight.
Hey, so remember as you go about your day today, remember the wonderful words of our fearless leader.
By the way, if they want to think to take on government, if we get out of line, which they're talking again about, well, guess what? They need F-15s. They don't need a rifle.
Yeah, you don't need a rifle. You need F-15s. Yeah. That's right. So if you're thinking about, a revolution, get yourself some F-15s.
Yeah, thank goodness we don't have cameras on. But, Joe, here's two bullets for you right here.
Yeah,
I can
see you, yes. Yeah. Yes. Are those things loaded? Anyway.
Well, they are for him. Yeah.
Hey, listen, if you want to contact us, go to our website, www.itsanotherday.com. www.itsanotherday.com or www.jimandbill.com. You'll find all of our shows. You'll find out how to contact us. It's all right there on our website. And by the way, thanks to the many people who download the show every day and spread the word. We truly appreciate it. Bill, it's all yours.
Yeah, and I wasn't threatening Joe with real bullets or anything.
No,
I had the fickle fingers of Biden. that's what they are, the fickle fingers for Biden. There you go. It's the one-way salute. Anyway, but until further ado, notice, I'm just going to say, hasta la vista, baby! We're out of here!
This is CRN America.